Hello there and welcome into another edition of the JMAC podcast. And today, an important question as we update you on some news going on around the country when it comes to COVID-19. This question is going to come up in the state of Utah. I am raising it as early as possible so that we can have the discussion. And the question is, should we ban Halloween this year? And I know the thought of that, it just rips my heart out of my chest. The thought of taking away a year, because let's be honest, young kids only have so many years of Halloween, and parents, you only have so many years of enjoying Halloween with your kids. The idea of taking a year from them because of the pandemic, it's hard to take. So I want to see if we can figure this out. But again, I think we need to start thinking about this right now. One of the reasons that I'm bringing this up is because other cities around the country are already looking at this. One of them being Los Angeles. They came out last week and they said they were banning trick-or-treating. They have walked that back a little bit, but again, this is going to be something we have to look at in the state of Utah.
Pandemic scaring off our scariest holiday. LA County health officials worried traditional Halloween activities could spread the coronavirus.
For this year, it's just simply not safe to celebrate in the ways that we usually do.
Here's what the health department wants residents to avoid this Halloween. Any door-to-door trick-or-treating, so-called trunk-or-treating, where kids go from car to car and grab candy, gatherings and parties, even if they're held outdoors, and carnivals, festivals, and haunted houses. There are some options for kids, though, including online Halloween parties and contests, car parades where people dress up or decorate their vehicles and maintain physical distancing requirements, or drive-through trick-or-treating, where people stay in their cars, drive-in movie events, and of course, decorating homes and yards.
Some activities are not prohibited under the health officer order. Other activities, we think, don't make sense during a pandemic.
Well, I think about all the things that happen in the state of Utah for Halloween. This is a huge haunted house state. Now, I have lived in many other states, California, Hawaii, Nevada, Dallas, Florida. Would you be surprised if you haven't lived outside of Utah that I don't think there's any other state in the country that has haunted houses the way that we do in the state of Utah? What are those haunted houses going to do? I'm sure they're already working on that and figuring out how to have a COVID-free haunted house environment. But these haunted houses are large groups of people streaming through, mazes of scary things. They're close together. I'm assuming they're all going to be required to wear a mask. I'm not sure how they're going to do this. So you've got the haunted houses, and then you've got trick-or-treating, trunk-or-treating, corn mazes. I mean, this is just such a fun time of year for so many people, adults and children alike. What does it look like in the face of a pandemic? Again, we should be hearing about this already. I think the state of Utah, I'm sure they're having meetings. I hope that within the next days or weeks, we're going to see some guidelines come out. Now, I would like to think that we can still do this, but it requires everybody to play along. If we could have some level of comfort and assurances that people would follow certain guidelines during trick-or-treating, then I think we could pull this off. The problem is that so many people are unwilling to follow the guidelines because of, quote, civil liberties. And we've talked about that extensively here on this program. Again, to me, this is about public safety. It's about loving your neighbor. It's about eliminating the virus from our society as quickly and efficiently as possible so that we can get back to normal. That's why I choose to wear a mask, and that's why I encourage you to wear a mask. It's the fastest route back. And in fact, coming up in a minute, I'm going to share with you some more really valuable information about how important masks are and why they work the way that they do. So my wish is that for Halloween, and I'm just going to speculate here about what the guidelines would be. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a health expert, but I have followed the COVID virus extensively. I read everything I can about it. Today, I was listening to a story about how it spreads, what it does to the individual cells, why it's so hard to combat, all of those things. But in my mind, if we could get a reasonable assurance that everybody participating in trick-or-treating would follow certain rules and guidelines, then I would think, at least when it comes to trick-or-treating, I don't know about haunted houses, corn mazes, all of those things. That's a different story. But at least when it comes to trick-or-treating, I would think that we could all get on board and make this happen. How? Well, a couple of guidelines just off the top of my head, and share what you think in the comments of this podcast of what guidelines you think we would have to follow. First of all, anyone handing out candy would have to wear a mask and possibly gloves. And I would think that you would have to put the candy in the bowl and hold it out, and the kids would have to get the candy out. The problem with that is, if you've got kids who have the virus, are they spreading it in the bowl from one person to another? Again, this is very difficult. And then I would think that kids who are out trick-or-treating and adults who are out trick-or-treating, you need to wear a mask. Now, you may say, I'm not going to wear a mask. Well, this is the one day a year when everybody can wear a mask. It's Halloween. A lot of kids are going to be in masks anyway. So incorporate the mask into the costume. And that way, everybody can be safe. You can have social distancing on the doorstep. Again, I would like to think that this could happen. I would hate for it not to be able to happen. But again, can we handle it? Can we handle it? Can we do this right? So far, from what I've seen, I don't know. I don't know if we can. Is it going to become this big political issue? Are people going to be out protesting because they want to go trick-or-treating and they're being told by the state not to? And then that's another violation of civil rights. Halloween could end up being a super spreader event. Now, some of you are saying, kids, it doesn't matter if kids catch it. They're practically immune. Well, we know that that's not true, and we know that they spread it. I just saw a story yesterday that talked about how kids in preschools are taking the virus back home. They're spreading it amongst themselves. The kids aren't getting sick, and then they're spreading it to the adults at home. And that's what makes this so dangerous, because the kids don't get sick. Listen, it would be better if the kids got sick just a little bit. If they showed signs, and one of the stories, again, that I was reading today was that one of the things that this virus does is it tricks the immune system. So what should be happening is your immune system senses that there is some outside agent inside the body. And that's when the fever starts. That's when the mucus starts to form. But what happens with COVID-19 is it tricks the immune system. It actually shields the immune system, and it goes in stealth mode so that the immune system doesn't know to kick in. And that's why COVID is so dangerous compared to other illnesses, because the body doesn't show signs. If our kids would just get sick a little bit and show symptoms, then we could tell any kid who's sick to stay home from school, to stay home from preschool. And if even adults in the first week of getting this thing would just show symptoms, then we just tell every adult to stay home and to quarantine. But you can be a carrier of this thing, and it's tricked your immune system, and you're out spreading it, and you don't even know it. And that's why this thing is so problematic. And that's why masks are so important. Now, I have this video. It's from a YouTube channel called Minute Physics. I'm going to play part of this video for you. It's about the math of wearing a mask, and I think this is very important information. I'll post the rest of the video in the description, and I would recommend you look at the whole thing. If you're still wondering if a mask is effective and how effective a mask can be, maybe this will answer some of your questions.
Say you have a mask that cuts in half the chance a contagious person will infect a nearby susceptible person. In other words, this mask is 50% effective. Except this mask is way more than 50% effective because, as we'll see, when many people wear even just a 50% effective mask, you end up with way more than 50% protection. It seems obvious that if no one wears a mask, then no one gets any benefit. And that's true. And you might assume that if everyone wears a 50% effective mask, there'd be a 50% benefit, that is, a 50% drop in disease transmission. But that's not how the math of masks works. When everyone wears a 50% effective mask, disease transmission actually drops by 75%, much better than 50. Masks break our intuition because we're used to thinking about masks as single-directional, only protecting the wearer. But masks can protect in both directions, when you breathe in through them and when you breathe out. This means that when everyone is wearing masks, there are in fact two masks between any two people. If we assume for simplicity that masks are equally effective in either direction, and if this assumption bothers you, stick around to the end of the video. If masks are equally effective in either direction, then the first mask cuts disease transmission in half, and the second mask cuts it in half again. So overall, you end up with a 75% drop in disease transmission, not 50%. In this scenario, masks do double duty.
Now, we know from research that masks are not equally effective in protecting the wearer. So the math is a little bit different than what they're presenting. But if you listen to previous COVID-19 updates, I've shared with you that a mask does help somewhat. It may not stop you from catching the virus, but what happens is the level of your symptoms, how bad your symptoms get, are directly proportional to how much of the virus you are exposed to. So a mask can reduce how much pain and anguish and potentially how deadly the virus can get. And depending on how close you are to the exposure and how many particles are in the air, that mask could effectively protect you. So again, the goal here should be, as a society, let's all wear masks because we want this virus gone as quickly as possible. That way we can all get back to our liberties and our freedoms, and we can save lives in the process. So let me know in the comments, do you think that we should ban Halloween? What steps do we need to take in order to make Halloween happen? I would love to see that be able to go forward in the state of Utah. Unfortunately, over the last few days, we've seen COVID cases going up in Utah again. If we're in a relapse, if we're going backwards as Halloween approaches, that will not be a good thing. So let's start the discussion. Let's have it now. And hopefully we can come up with a way to give our kids the wonder of Halloween. And hey, I want to take a minute and thank those of you who have supported this podcast either through a monthly subscription or just over the last few days. I've gotten several one-time donations. Thank you so much to those of you who are supporting this podcast and helping me bring fearless honesty to you on a regular basis. And don't forget to like, share, comment, and let everybody know about this podcast.